this week on Under Construction with Chadwicks.
Well, in a monster season finale, we find out how to protect your power tools and talk team building with some of the best from the GAA.
Seatbelts on. Check your mirrors. Volume up. Up. The Under Construction podcast with Aidan Power and Fred Cook starts now.
But first, let's start with our photo of the week, where you send us a picture of some work that you're really proud of and you want to show it off to everyone who is listening. So right now, if you look at your phone or whatever you're listening to us on, you should see a photo of a bathroom. It's a piece of work which Eugene from A1 Tradesmen is particularly proud of. And here's Eugene to tell us more.
Hi, this bathroom was an upgrade from their old bathroom they got. They built their house approximately 10 years ago. They never really liked their bathroom that they had. So A1 Tradesmen came in and increased the size of the bathroom by removing the stud wall, rebuilding the wall itself approximately half a meter further into the utility room. We then designed the bathroom in a style of a black and white team, with a sort of a dark effect team, and then ourselves, A1 Tradesmen, had the labor from start to finish to provide this high standard bathroom to the quality that's in the pictures, as you can see. Thanks.
Thank you, Eugene, and thank you for all the detail and indeed the photo, which really does reveal just the amazing amount of work that went into it. It's a beautiful thing, Fred, and we know the bathroom is not just for the obvious. It's more than that. It's a very important place for you, isn't it?
Oh, completely. You know, even looking at this picture, I feel relaxed. I mean, really, like, the toilet is your place. It's your space. It's toilet space. It's great. Like, me and Julie and I, we live together in a mezzanine, which is another name for one big room. One big, massive room where you watch TV in the same place, you sleep in the same place. But we were lucky to have it. But the only other room was the toilet. The toilet. So I must have spent hours in there on my own some days, you know, after fights. I'm okay. I'm in here. I'm fine. So, you know, the toilet is a great place for your own headspace, relaxation. And when I look at this picture here, I think if I had this mirror, which I'd love, I know that Julie would tell me to take a good look at myself, Fabi.
Yeah, the jacks is your naughty step, basically, Fred. Yeah. Now, let me ask you about your bathroom at home growing up. Because some of us had carpet, some of us had tiled. Which category were you, tiled or carpeted?
I was both. Because, you know, I'm an 80s child, 90s child, noughties child. And I think the big transition was around the 90s when my parents changed from carpet to tile in the bathroom. No one told me. And the way I found out was one morning, I was 19 and I was very hungover in my bedroom. And I ran down the stairs. I ran down the stairs in my jocks to get sick, right? Oh. To get into the toilet.
Charming.
Absolutely, like. And when I opened up the door to get sick, I got sick straight away. The sick fell on the tiles and I slipped on my own sick, only to fall back and bang my head on the tiles. And my dad, he said he took a look, see what was going on. And all he could see was a semi-concussed son in a load of sick on the tiles. So all I'm trying to say is tiles are wonderful, but if carpet was on the floor of my bathroom, that would have never happened.
Yeah, so
and if I didn't have so many Jaeger bombs the night beforehand. You must have some stories yourself, Aidan.
Well, do you know what? When I think back to, my parents' house and the bathroom back in the day, I always think about it. It's such a, I think it was a national experience for everyone growing up back in the day. It was bath night. Friday night was bath night in the house. Me and my brother in the bath, my mother trying to bathe us while we were baiting each other and splashing water. And then what we do when we get out of the bath, we, rather than drying off and getting dressed and getting your hair combed or whatnot, we'd run around the house in the nip and we'd use the towels as our capes. So we'd like jump down the stairs like a naked Superman. And this would take place most Friday nights. But one week it turned into a game of pretty serious chasing where my brother was not only chasing me with his towel, he also had picked up the nail scissors and he chased me down the stairs around the house. And as I was running back up the stairs, screaming, trying to get away from him, he threw the scissors at me and it stuck. I'm not joking.
Oh,
it went
God.
In to the back of my head and my mother had to remove a nail scissors from the back of my head. And I still have the scar to this day to prove it. So you banged your head in the bathroom. I got a scissors thrown into my head and mine, so there you go. But you know what, I remember it all very fondly. Well, remember, if you'd like to share a photo of some work you are very proud of and share it with everyone listening as our photo of the week, you can just send us a WhatsApp photo and a voice message telling us all about it. Our number is 087 77 54 555, and that number, as always, is in the show description.
This is the Under Construction Podcast from Chadwicks. Let's get it done.
Well, it's time now for a little trade talk, and this week we are centering around team building on site, and who better to chat to than two of the top GAA hurling counties, Waterford and Wexford. From Waterford, we're joined by their former senior hurling manager, Derek McGrath, and in Wexford, we have the one and only Davy Fitz, their current hurling manager, and of course, one of the judges on Ireland's Fittest Family. Derek, Davy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Aidan. Thanks for having me.
It's great to chat with you both. Both Fred and I are honoured to have two GAA legends with us. We'll talk a lot, obviously, about GAA, but it is a construction podcast. So let's establish if there's any DIY credentials amongst either of you. Davy, I'll start with you first. Were you ever swinging an axe or hammer in anger as a young flip?
All I can remember when I was younger is my dad getting me out of bed of a Saturday morning to go cut timber and split blocks and do stuff like that. That's as far as I went. And I absolutely hated it. Every Saturday morning, about 7 o'clock, he'd have me up and, oh, Jesus, not again. That's as far as I went. As regards being handy around the house, I'd say my missus would be better than I would around the house without a shadow of a doubt.
And you with those great hands and eye-hand coordination, maybe swinging the axe was the precursor to swinging the hurl. And Derek, what about you as a young filly? Were you ever getting your hands dirty?
Yeah, getting my hands dirty, but probably not in DIY. To be honest, I'd be a disaster now. If, you know, I echoes of Davy's story there. I remember as a 16-year-old being employed by actually Davy, and Shane O'Sullivan, who played with Waterford for years, his late father, and taking mortar off red bricks and stacking them on pallets. And I remember myself and a good buddy of mine, Paul Forrest, we kind of stacked a couple of the big bricks in the middle and surrounded them with red bricks, you know, to try, and I think we were getting so much per brick, if you like, but we were caught with our roofs when, you know, we didn't realise the detail that Pat would go into in checking his pallets. We had the red bricks on the outside and we had it stacked on the inside with kind of big blocks, if you like. So it was, yeah, and look, my late father of mine, I remember he was equally as bad in terms of the at home. I remember helping him with wallpaper and putting paste on the back of a wallpaper. And then we forgot to read that it was self-adhesive stuff. So, you know, we're a disaster. It's an absolute disaster in terms of DIY. Other than that, I'd be just absolute walking disaster, I have to be honest with you.
Lads, if we can tap into your wealth of experience, of knowledge and experience as managers, man management, people management, it's such an important aspect of what you do in terms of motivating, driving a team, getting the best performance out of it. People listening to this who may be managing lads on sites and ladies, Derek, what advice, if I can ask you, do you think is transferable from the sporting field to the building site in terms of leading and managing a team?
Well, I think knowing your group, first and foremost, and knowing the dynamic of your group. And, you know, even when you use that language, it sounds kind of not posh language, but understanding the group, you know, the ordinariness of the group, the mechanics of the group, the guy in the group that's perhaps the maverick, the really talented guy that perhaps doesn't toe the line with the team ethic at times. Is there room for him? Is there room for selfish and egotistical fellas within teams? Can you create a collaborative space for those guys? Which fellas in the group like data, like information, like feedback? Which guys react to kind of more positive affirmation? And, you know, the balance between support and challenge, I suppose. You know, putting your arm around the shoulder of a guy on site, a new guy that's coming on site, you know, labouring for the first time on a construction site. You know, his learning process is completely different than a foreman. How do you speak to people? How do you impart knowledge? Can you get away with fun and enjoyment in a workplace? You know, where is the line between banter and a guy going home completely disillusioned with how he's been treated in a workplace? So the one important thing is if you base it all on your principles of respect, in other words, respect for your staff, respect for the people you're working with them, how you speak to them, and yet be able to kind of drive them as well, you know, where you're actually able to challenge them. So, you know, if you can create an environment where they actually like their work, where they love going to work because it's fun, it's enjoyable, but yet there are signs where you can be ambitious and progress within your job and your workspace as well. And it doesn't feel like as kind of a dead-end job or a dead-end workplace, if you like. So I think social interaction, good crack with your team, but also I'm going to contradict myself by challenging them to the absolute limit that they can go to as well, because I think young lads and staff want that as well. They want to be able to go somewhere with their workplace, and it's the same as a team dynamic.
Davy, a good point raised there by Derek is how society has changed over the last number of years. Have dressing rooms changed over the last 10, 15 years in the types of language you can use, in how you can be with certain players? Because As I said, society has changed. Have you had to adapt as a manager in terms of your man management skills?
Yeah, like firstly, again, I'm going to agree with everything Derek has said there. Me managing maybe 10 or 15 years ago is a completely different person to the one that's at it now. And maybe that's from maybe the new younger generation we're dealing with as well and how we deal with them. I can remember how I was dealt with as a player. And let's just say it will be 1,000 times different now to what things are, I'll tell you. I don't think some of the players now would cope with maybe the methods used back in the late 90s, 2000s. It's completely different. And mine will be very similar to Derek. Like, I probably spend the first 2 or 3 months of any team I get trying to figure out the person, what works for that person, what doesn't work for that person. I build profile. I take notes all the time on the individual because my belief is I have to get the best out of that individual, but I have to understand that individual. And every individual is different. Different requirements in how to learn stuff, how to take on stuff. People react differently maybe to being... Some people can be pushed really hard and they'll react well. Some people need the arm around them completely and they'll get the message better. Some people need to see it visually all the time before they take up the message. There's so many things you have to understand. And I think that relates to, be it on a building site, be it to working as well. I think the more you understand your people, the better. Without a shadow of a doubt, creating the atmosphere. Like if you have a boss that comes in and it is on your case all the time, you'll be uptight. You won't be performing the way you want to perform. You have to have that balance. I think balance is a good word to say. There's times where stuff needs to be done. There's times where you have to have the laugh and the joke and have the bit of crack. Like, being honest, the day of a game, I rarely do a team talk. Would rarely do it now. There's a few other things we do to make the players feel good, make them perform. I think that's very important. And my belief is you have, the most important thing in life is the time you have. The time you have. The minutes in the day, how you use the minutes in the day. If you're going to work and you're trying to pass 9 hours, that's a bloody disaster. You have to be going to work and enjoying what you do, 110%. And that's nearly down to your bosses to make sure that environment is right, that you're going to improve yourself. You're going to use them 8 or 9 hours where you can be the best you can be. I don't believe in wasting time in life because life and the time we have is too precious. And that's very important to me. So I think that's down to a lot of the people that are management and that are in that to understand the people are working from. And ambition to me is massive. Like, go there with a cause and go there to be the best you can be.
Lads, another question before we say goodbye. Winning is difficult. Harder than winning is defending stuff and staying consistent and being successful. And I guess that can apply to other aspects of life and indeed work and indeed the side. So Derek, when you do have success, how difficult is that to manage the lows as well as the highs?
Yeah, it's difficult. And I think, look, you have to probably, you know, have a definition of success as well in your head, I think, you know, as regards. And this is where, you know, it's hard because we all want to win and we want to win badly, you know, savagely, ruthlessly. We want to win. And, you know, I was involved in 5 finals in Waterford and we lost 4 of the 5 finals. And, you know, Sky Sports stats has us up at 20% win rate. Then in the final, you're kind of saying to yourself, you know, you want to win. So I think you have to be as sceptical about success as you are about you know, defeat, if you like. I think you have to be as... There's a great book there, Rasmus Ankersen's book, Hunger in Paradise, it's called, where he talks about, you know, burning your trophies, you know, kind of a, you know, the whole idea that when you have that bit of success that you're really almost on the edge, paranoid almost about the success in terms of where you need to go, what you need to change, how you need to look at it. Post-17 All-Ireland Final, for instance, in Waterford, the general narrative was young team, young management, back next year. You know, and I'm just thinking to myself, no, this thing has to be, you know, the script has to be ripped up in many ways, has to be changed, has to be tweaked. This is what we need to do. We need to be sharper. We need to be on edge. And when we're on edge, we have a chance. And I think, first of all, then, to answer your question in a roundabout way, is an awareness of what comes with success. It can change the dynamic of a group. It can change, even a small milli percent, it can change it. And secondly, I suppose, is to kind of say to yourself, right, what needs to be done in order to change this particular mindset? Do you need to push harder or do you need to come back a small bit? And look, that's the battle that Limerick face at the moment in terms of their approach. And it's a battle for a workplace. You know, you go back to the famous CEO of Blockbuster, the film distribution company, Dermot Keyes, who famously said, Netflix are not even on our radar in terms of competition. And 2 years later, they were wound down, and you know where Netflix have gone since. So it's, you know, I think people have learned in both business and in sport that you just need to be on that, looking for that edge all the time.
Davey?
Yeah, people would often say to me, what's your best success? And my thing is, I never fucking look back. I have no interest in what I've done. I actually have no interest in what... The best victory for me is the next one. It's what's happening tomorrow. I don't have any interest in what's been done. I'll be honest with you. I don't clap myself in the back. I have no interest in looking what's been done. I just want to get the next one. That's the feeling I want. But that's what I'm like, is when I win something, I will just go straight back and say, okay, what can we do better? It's the same if you're on a job and you do it well, I would hope the people would say to themselves, oh, how can I even make this better the next time around? Because if you stand still, time will pass you by, things will pass you by. You look at life over the last hundreds of years, progression, progression, progression. Something always happens new. And you've either got to decide, the way I done things 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that's not going to work. I just have to figure out what's the next thing. I want to be part of what the next thing is. I want to make sure if I can help with even better change out there, let's be part of it. The one advice I give to people is, grand, enjoy the moment. But then after that, get your head back in the game and look to even get better again.
Hey, lads, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast and giving us such a brilliant insight to both your individual mindsets and your collective thinking. I think, though, if you're up for it, you should square off against each other one last time on our pod quiz in a few minutes' time. How about that? Yes? Yes.
Under construction with Chadwicks. New episodes every Monday on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, earlier in the series, we were chatting about power tools, and one of the things that came from that was how to protect them. After all, they are a tasty item for thieves. To find out more about tool theft and how to protect your gear, we're joined by Garda Crime Prevention Officer, Sergeant Dean Cairns. Dean, welcome to the podcast.
Morning, Aidan.
So, Dean, in the building trade, there's busy times of the year, there's quiet times of the year. Is that the same for thieves? Do they follow certain trends or seasons?
They do, yeah. Look, what you would see, you know, certainly in the construction industry, you know, the winter time in the past, and certainly over the last year and a bit, it has been particularly quiet due to COVID. But you can see now, recently, you know, with the construction industry beginning to get up and running again, you're going to see generally an increase in property theft, you know, because there's so much activity right throughout the country there. And obviously the thieves, because they've had a quiet time there for a year and a half. And obviously there has been no market for their tools because they haven't been able to sell it anywhere. But now we can see certainly the construction industry, you know, the level of crime is slowly and gradually increasing there.
On sites, firstly, though, Dean, in your own experience, what have you seen sites to do to protect their gear? We know site safety is very important, but so is site security. So perhaps the best and worst examples maybe of what you've seen?
The way we look upon it, I suppose, if you put yourself in the shoes of a criminal, he's looking at easy access to a site. So the first thing when he's going out and about, he's looking at the perimeter security of a construction site. Is it good or is it bad? Some sites are particularly good. Some will have security on it. Some will have good lighting on it. They'll have signage on it. They'll have manned garden services on it. They'll have monitored CCTV. And that in itself, even driving by, it's a deterrent because they know it's going to be very difficult to get in onto a site there to take anything from it. Now, you also have the other criminals who are simply just so brazen. They'll just drive in onto a site, pretending to be part of the working. They're certainly their sole intention is to try and take something. Now, whether that's someone's tools, someone's materials, some bit of machinery, or even just setting it up and come back later on. So having good CCTV is an asset. Even the layout of the construction site itself, it's really, really, really important. You know, having the likes of maybe a lot of people will have containers. Have it that they're maybe possibly facing a container. Have it that, you know, the criminals can't work, you know, by hidden, you know, there's no natural surveillance if people are driving by, if even the guards and patrol cars are driving by. You know, it's always good that we can look into a site and see clearly, is there any activity there?
Dean, if I work from my van, should I keep my tools in the van? Because if I come home late in the evening after a long day of work, the last thing I want to be doing is lugging in boxes of equipment and tools. What is your advice for people to keep their tools safe if they work out of a van?
If the criminal gets into a van there, he's looking at tools he can carry away. So what we're recommending, or we're suggesting, that people should mark their property in some shape or form that where the tools can be identified if we come upon them. So by identifying tools, we mean they can engrave a name onto it, they can engrave a phone number onto it, an email, the company name, or an air code onto it. Because by engraving some of these details onto it, it just means then that it makes it harder for these people to sell the tools on to somebody else. When the people involved in the construction industry, it wouldn't be usual or typically for them to take a note of the serial numbers. But they have, in some cases, they've marked their initials onto it. Now, if you can imagine a bit of property, say, marked with AP here in County Meath, and that's recovered, say, in the west of Ireland or in the south of Ireland. Now, AP would mean nothing to a guard down in, say, Cork or Kerry or Clare. But if you had your air code onto it, if you had your name, Aidan Power, say, County Meath on it, even an email on it, at least then there's a better chance you're going to get the property back. You know, you have to give the guard some sort of a chance of getting the property back for you. But more importantly, when we do come upon property, you have to be able to identify the property yourself. And by engraving something on it that you can specifically say, this is my property, that's my air code, that's my mobile number, that's my company name, or that's my email address. At least then, the chances of you getting the property back are going to increase enormous, because any guard in any station in the country, no matter what part it is, they will be able to identify you. And straight away, we can put your name into our pulse system, and the chances of you getting the property back are going to increase enormously. Look at, you can get the extra locks on, good secured locks on your van door. You can get an audible alarm system. You can mark your property with identifiable. But then you can also put a box inside the van. I mean, every tradesman is pretty handy, whether it's with metalwork or timber or something. Mm. And there's nothing stopping him putting some sort of a secure box within the van itself that you can simply lock the tools in an item. And then simply, like, park the van. I mean, if it's near your house, park it, you know, that they can't open the doors that easily. Park it up against the wall. Park it in your garage. So it's trying to put a few measures just to make it a little bit more difficult for them.
Simple but effective and terrific advice. Sergeant Dean Cairns, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
You're welcome, Aidan.
Under construction with Chadwicks. Over 40 stores nationwide, so we're always local.
All throughout our podcast series, we've been asking you to send us your jokes to win what we call the Tool of Dreams. It is that object you desire in your toolkit. And today, we are announcing our winner. We've had some great jokes over the series, Fred, and then we've had others that, I don't know, were they even jokes?
Oh, we've laughed, we've cried, but that crying came from laughter. So it's win-win.
Yes, they've all been fantastic and it's been a very tough decision. But here's what we've done. Fred, myself and our producer Dusty have rated each week's jokes out of 10. And after counting up the votes, we now have our top three. So here they are. Number three is Don McCarthy.
My mother-in-law fell down a wishing well. I was amazed. I never knew they worked.
Number two. This comes from Justin Murphy.
What's the best thing about Switzerland? Well, I don't know, but the flag is a big plus.
Oh, Justin, that was brilliant and came so close to being our winner. But unfortunately, it's not. And it is time now to find out who is winning our Tool of Dreams. So let's give them a call.
Hello.
David. David Galligan.
Maybe. I don't know.
David, hi. It's Aidan Power and Fred Cook from the Under Construction podcast with Chadwicks.
Sorry, you'll have to excuse my rudeness. I'm on edge a lot.
Are you really? Are you a wanted man? Are the guards after you? Have you done something?
It's worse than that, Aidan. I have very vindictive friends, so I just I never know what's coming up.
Tell us a bit about yourself, David. Where are you and in the country, and what do you work at?
I'm living in Cavan and in a place called Mullaghorn, and I'm kind of based in Dublin then with work. So I work at fitting like precast concrete. So we put up walls and floors and stairs and stuff like that. Yeah.
So David, our Tula Dreams competition, of course, we were going to pick the best joke, and whoever wins is going to win their Tula Dreams. What is your Tula Dreams?
Yeah, I'd really like a screw gun. Yeah, a nice screw gun.
Is there a particular brand that you like?
I like the DeWalt ones. Yeah, they're like, I don't know if you've ever seen them before, they're like yellow and black, but it's like a multi-purpose thing you could use for anything around the house. Like, you'd have it for life, you know. Any good tradesman will have a good drill.
How much would something like that set you back, David?
Maybe around 150, or like a good one, maybe, yeah, around 150, 200 quid.
I don't think that's enough, David.
You'd like to go more.
Tell you what, David, Fred and I and our producer have an idea.
Yeah.
You're going to go tomorrow into Chadwick's Fixing Centre on Dublin's Thomas Street. Mission is to kit yourself out with 500 quid's worth of power screwdrivers and accessories. How about that?
Oh, that sounds class. Thanks a million, guys. That is brilliant. I'm absolutely delighted.
Because you are our winner of the Tula Dreams, and we're going to share with all our listeners now the reason why. Well done, Dave. Here's his joke.
So the foreman points out a huge pile of sand and says to the large, muscular Scotsman, "You're in charge of the shoveling." To the slightly less muscular but still large Italian man, he says, "You're in charge of sweeping." And to the skinny Chinese man, he says, "You're in charge of supplies." He then says, "Now, I have to leave for a little while. I expect you men to make a dent in that pile of sand." So the foreman goes away for a couple of hours, and when he returns, the pile of sand is untouched. He asks the Italian, "Why didn't you sweep any of it?" He replied, "I have no broom, mate. You said it that the Chinese guy, he was in charge of the supplies, but he has disappeared and I couldn't find him nowhere." The foreman turns to the Scotsman and says, "And you, I thought you were to shovel this pile." He replies, "Aye, you did, lad, but I couldn't get myself a shovel. You left on wee Chinese manny in charge of supplies, but I couldn't find him anywhere." Foreman is really pissed off now and storms off towards the pile of sand to look for the Chinese guy. As he approaches the man, the Chinese guy leaps out from behind the sand and yells, "Supplies!"
You know, I think I'm appreciating the subtleties and indeed the delivery of that even more second time around. What about you, Fred?
That's a great sign. You know, we've talked about that joke throughout the weeks. We need another joke like that. So when we hear it back again, it's so funny. Great performance, such a funny line. Well done, David.
Absolutely. Well done, David. High praise from Mr. Fred Cook. And David, good luck on your adventures and your spending spree in Chadwick's Fixing Centre on Dublin's Thomas Street.
And can we be there? Can we be there to meet him and go, "Surprise!"
The Under Construction Podcast from Chadwick's. Get it automatically by clicking the follow button on your podcast app right now.
Seeing as we were talking about GAA earlier, well, we're going to have a quick check-in now with the Kilkenny branch of Chadwick's. Running the show there is manager Tony Duggan. Tony, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thanks, Aidan. Grand, thanks.
When I say you're running the show there as the manager, do you run it like Brian Cody?
Well, see, I'm only the leader. Like, I'm only as good as the team that's under me, you know, and Brian Cody's no different. That's what the manager's role at the end of the day is, only as good as the people he's working for him. So I'm lucky I have good staff here.
You're very good at the small ball down in Kilkenny, but why don't any of you kick the big ball?
Oh, when the big ball comes into Kilkenny, we normally punctured. You know, all the young lads are down here, it's all hurling only. Unfortunately, that's just been the way. Kilkenny's a small county, so GAA and hurling in Kilkenny is just the number one sport. And sadly, like, if you're really involved in anything else, really doesn't seem to kind of matter. If you're not in GAA circles, you're kind of lost, you know. That's been always the way over a number of years. There is a bit of football being played in Kilkenny, but it's not taken serious, you know. That's probably an issue that it's not going to change in the near future, I don't think, either, you know.
Now, let's talk about hurling. And on a more local level, on a more club level, how is COVID affecting hurling in Kilkenny?
Yeah, the COVID has had a massive effect. I have two young lads hurling there, and I would have been involved in our own local club there as well for years there. And like, they, everything in our parish revolves around the GAA club. The boys used to lose out the contact with our friends, no training, and then we got back training, doing a bit, and you weren't only one parent with a child. Like, it had a massive effect on, I think, young people's mental health, especially in rural. We were a very rural parish. We're not in a city or a town. And the only thing in our local parish is the GA grounds and two churches and three schools. But we have no shop. We have no pub. The pub is the clubhouse. So everything revolved around that. So when the whole thing came into lockdown, the whole parish as a whole just came to a standstill. And that's the beauty of the GAA in the local community. It's the hub of a local parish. It keeps the parish together. It keeps people meeting, joining in, and a sense of community and the whole lot. Like, that was lost. And like, it's great to see it picking up a bit there now, where you go back down to a club match there and you can stand at the rail and social distance, have a chat with the lads that you've missed out on. So, look, and hopefully we get on the right side, but please God, you know.
So in any GAA club, there are a huge amount of people that need a playing kit. Chadwick's helped out in Kilmacow Club in Kilkenny. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, there was Chadwick sponsored a fit-out competition for all of Leinster, so, but there's one for each county. So it was done countily. So when you won the county one, then you went forward to the Leinster one. So Kilmacow won out the Kilkenny one. There was a lot of clubs involved in it. Nearly every club in the county entered the draw. Because there was €1,000 for, the local club in your county first. Yeah. And the overall one then for Leinster, we came to 11 grand. So Kilmacow, I think a team from Offaly and a team from Laois came into the last three, and it came down to a vote. And it was opened up to the whole of Leinster to the vote. So Kilmacow won it out in the end.
Is that something on a personal level, as a community man, as a family man, as a proud GAA man, to see your own company, Chadwick's, be involved at such a helpful level?
When you're in a position like I am here, most of our customers are somewhere involved. They're all builders or plumbers, or they're in the end of it, and they're all on a committee in every parish. So, unfortunately for us, then when there's something a fundraiser, one of those boys are going to approach us looking for sponsorship. And realistically, like the GAA, they're always looking for something, because it's such a big organisation, and every club is run on sponsorship, and it needs a certain amount. So it was great to see like that at a local base, that we could say, right, Kilmacow got 11 grand there to help them out in their club. And it takes a bit of pressure off them with all of this, because like, you can't keep giving all the time. Like, as you know, as any organisation, GAA is only one organisation locally. Mm. So there's a lot of things that have to be looked after in a branch and in a local area. But no, I was delighted, and like, long may it continue, because it is something that I am involved in, and like, there's other people in other businesses the same way that like me to give something back, like, you know. So it's nice to be able to see that going down the road to Kilmacow, and like, I've seen the pitch, the way the development I've done since that down there. So it's great to be able to go and see the money being used accordingly as well, like, you know.
Well, long may it continue. Tony Duggan, branch manager at Chadwick's Kilkenny, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thanks, Aidan. Up Kilkenny.
Trade talk, tips and banter. This is the Under Construction podcast from Chadwick's. Let's get it done.
All right, it's time for this week's pod quiz, and we have not one but two contestants. We have Derek McGrath and Davey Fitz, who have stayed with us to play on behalf of one of our listeners. They win a customised answer machine message from our boy Fred Cook. Now this week, Fred, you're going to do a song for Chris, and Chris is a tower crane operator working in Dublin. Have you got that, Fred?
Oh yeah, Chris. I don't know what rhymes with Chris. I don't know what rhymes with operator or tower, but I'll give it a shot.
And I've no doubt in about a minute's time you will have produced something magical. So Davey, Derek, best of luck to you both. 60 seconds on the clock. Feel free, whoever knows the answer, jump in. Question one. The building material made out of laminated sheets of wood is called what?
Ply, is it?
Yeah, ply. Plywood is right.
Who has won more All-Ireland senior football titles, Waterford or Kilkenny? It
has to be Waterford, isn't it?
It's a trick question. Neither have won.
Stupid fucking question.
All right, Davey didn't like that one. Right, next question. What part of your power drill holds your drill bit in place?
The head?
No, what another word for throwing a ball, it would be to
chuck.
Chuck, exactly, yes.
After the Euro finals penalty shootout, what was the final score in the Euro 2020 final?
3-2
on penalties is the right answer. And one more for good measure. We'll see if Derek wants to chime in at all on this. What is cork used for? Derek, what is cork used for?
Cork?
The only Cork I know is Cork and Milish. That's the only Cork I know.
Protecting from moisture, yeah, we'll accept all that and everything else. What a combined effort from two GAA greats. I think we have scraped over the line, and I think that means Chris, who is our crane operator in Dublin, gets his special song from Fred. Fred, take it away.
You've reached the phone of Chris. I'm making a new mention. My signal's load of piss, 'cause I'm higher than Richard Branson. I'm a crane operator. That's right, a Dublin crane operator. So leave a message after the beeping sound. It'll take me 2 days to get back to the ground. I'm a crane operator, a Dublin crane operator. Leave a message.
Fred, you saved the best for last of the series. Pretty Cheers. Darn good. You're higher than Richard Branson. Your phone signal was what?
A load of piss.
One last time, Derek McGrath, David Fitzgerald. Good luck to you both. Thanks, lads.
Thanks a million, lads.
This is the Under Construction podcast from Chadwicks, Ireland's leading builders, merchants and home improvement specialists.
Well, that's it for our podcast today, and indeed this series. Fred, we've learned a lot. What did we learn?
Oh, Aidan, we've learned so much. I've learned how to make a cabin, new installations, a pergola, a composite decking, a horse box for all my art, and I've learned so much. Can't wait for the summer. What's left of it?
You're going to have a busy summer, are you? Doing the DIY, good man. Well, that is it for Series 1. Thank you to Tony Duggan from Chadwicks Kilkenny, to our GAA legends, Derek McGrath and Davy Fitzgerald, and also to Sergeant Dean Cairns from the Garda Crime Prevention Office. Also, a special thanks to Sarah Murphy at Chadwicks for helping us get this podcast to you in the first place every week. And most importantly, thank you to you for listening. So, until the next time, from me, Aidan Power, and the wonderful Fred Cook, enjoy the rest of your summer.
The Under Construction podcast is produced by dustpod.ie for Chadwicks, Ireland's leading builders merchants company, where you can choose from the best products and expert advice to get the job done. Drop into any of our 40 plus stores nationwide or visit us online at chadwicks.ie. Chadwicks, let's get it done.